Hey there, welcome back to the Strong Mama podcast. My name's Nicole. I am your host. I'm an exercise physiologist and pre and postnatal fitness specialist, and I'm super pumped for today's episode. I actually spent so much time, like actually an hour, coming up with the outline for this episode because I'm not the type to wing it literally in anything in my life. And with this episode, I came up with an outline like I do for every episode, and I just kept writing and writing and writing, and I just got so much excitement to record this. I feel like the second trimester is such a fun time for some, not for everybody, so I don't want to just hype it up, but typically, this for most women is the best stretch of pregnancy, including for exercise. You may feel more energized, motivated to exercise again. Maybe you are able to increase your exercise frequency, your intensity. It can be a really good time. Now, this may not be true for every single person. I know that some expecting moms who continue to struggle through their second trimester with nausea or sickness. So I can validate that too, and don't want you to feel abnormal or if that something is wrong with you if that is something you're experiencing. Now, keeping that in mind, the vast majority of women that I have talked to, that I have worked with, will commonly feel good during the stretch of pregnancy. It's a great time to push yourself a little bit more in preparation for the third trimester when you really will start to experience more physical changes and at a more rapid pace. So we'll be chatting through the main second trimester body changes, what you can expect in terms of like how you'll feel. We'll talk about training tips and recommendations for exercise along with modifications and just things to keep it safe. I've also included some warning signs to look out for as you enter the second trimester. And at the end of the episode, I have recommended some additional episodes to take these concepts that we'll talk about further, because if I were to cover all of that in one episode, gosh, we'd probably be here for like 2 or 3 hours. So I really want to give you just like some tangible steps to take with you today. And then if you want to take some of these concepts further, you can kind of pick and choose from those recommended episodes. I know that if you're new to the podcast or whatnot, you know, maybe you're going back through some of the episodes, but this will just give you a streamlined way to just take what we talk about to the next level and know exactly where to go from here. So I am done babbling through this intro. Let's get into it. Oh, just kidding. One more thing I have for you real quick is a free resource on pregnancy exercise modifications broken down by first, second, and third trimester. So if you're somebody who is struggling with knowing what's safe, what's effective, how to change up exercise according to the trimester or phase of pregnancy you're in, definitely grab that free guide. It is available for you in the show notes. It's called Pregnancy Exercise Modifications by Trimester. So grab that if you need it, and I hope it supports you. Okay, now let's dive in. Welcome to the Strong Mama Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole, mom, exercise physiologist, and pre and postnatal fitness expert. This show is all about helping you navigate your pregnancy and postpartum journey with more strength, energy, and ease. Each week, pull up a seat for a new topic that will empower you to feel strong, capable, and confident while supporting your body through all the changes of the motherhood journey. Just a reminder that the information on this show is not meant to treat or diagnose any medical condition. Please speak to your medical provider for all things related to your healthcare. I'm honored and excited to be a part of your health journey into motherhood. Now let's dive into today's episode. As we start this episode, I think that one of the best things you can do in pregnancy is really understand the changes going on with your body, how those changes affect your movement and how you feel overall, and how they will impact you going forward. So that's really what I want to start with today, is just the second trimester body changes, both physiologically, like more internal, what's going on with your hormones, and also physically, what the things you can see. So just that being said, let's dive right into a list of things that you might be experiencing in the second trimester or will experience if you are not quite there yet. So first and foremost, very similar to the first trimester on the physiological side of things, The hormone relaxin is still working within your body to add instability to your joints. Again, this is a good thing. It's in preparation for delivery. It's allowing your body to expand. It can provide that instability though, which can make you feel off balance, can contribute to hypermobility. If you're somebody who's already hypermobile, you may, you know, just feel more unstable due to that. So just something to be aware of as you go throughout this, and I'll provide some ways that you can sort of not counteract it or get rid of it, but help your body work with it. Another thing here is that your, you know, growing baby is still utilizing your available blood sugar, that sort of immediate blood sugar that is available in your bloodstream, of course. So being sure to add a nutrient-dense snack prior to a workout can be really helpful, especially if you, you know, I wouldn't recommend necessarily working out on an empty stomach, especially if you're somebody who works out first thing in the morning. I'd recommend grabbing like a hard-boiled egg and like half a banana or something. That way, like when you use that blood sugar for a workout, your baby is also utilizing blood sugar, and that can just lead to some dizziness. So definitely recommend, you know, not working out in an empty stomach and having something 30 to 60 minutes prior to a workout. And similar to the first trimester, your blood volume has increased a ton. It really made those rapid increases in the first trimester. And now you have a higher volume of blood, which means more oxygen and nutrients delivered to your muscles and, of course, your baby. And this trimester, for that reason, may have the best training effect because you have all this increased blood volume. So you will likely feel the best with exercise. And again, there's caveats to this, of course, different complications and symptoms, but just speaking to like a general pregnancy, that's typically what you'll feel. I remember at the time of my first pregnancy, I was teaching in-person fitness classes, and I would have a regular base of people that would commonly come to the classes. And in that second trimester when I was teaching, they were just like, wow, you are a beast. And like, I didn't really necessarily notice it, but I was able to push myself a lot more than expected, and even more than like pre-pregnancy at certain points in that second trimester. So there is definitely something to that increased blood volume and increased like endurance and capacity. So that's kind of a fun thing to take advantage of in the second trimester. Another thing is that at this point, you may have a visible belly in your second trimester. So you're noticing some of those physical changes start to happen. And with that, of course, we've got the added weight gain. With both of those, with that belly and the weight gain, the alignment changes start to happen. And when I'm talking about alignment, I mean your pelvis and your center of gravity is shifting. So as your belly and you carry that baby weight out front, your pelvis is starting to be pulled forward. And again, with that, your center of gravity shifts. And if we're not counteracting this with exercise, then sometimes aches and pains can creep in the later stages of pregnancy if our pelvis is constantly tilted forward, or if for some reason you're like tucking under. So there's just different things happening here that could cause, you know, aches and pains down the road. And again, we'll talk about how to counteract that. Now, as your baby grows, there's also an increased intra-abdominal pressure. I don't know if you've heard that before, but what's happening here is that there is exactly what it sounds like. There's more pressure within your core. And when I'm talking about your core, I'm talking from your diaphragm down to your pelvic floor. So that entire section, there's an increase in pressure in there with your growing baby, which means that we just have to be a little more cautious with our exercise, with our core exercise, making sure we're not contributing to an increase in pressure there. Doing exercises that increase that pressure can bear down on the pelvic floor, causing symptoms and dysfunction, or push out on the abdominal wall, increasing risk for long-term diastasis recti. I always stumble over that word, even though I say it all the time. So that's kind of what comes with the physical changes. And another thing is that estrogen The hormone estrogen continues to climb throughout your pregnancy, which can sometimes cause additional fat stores, which maternal fat stores are necessary for the nourishment of your baby now and post-delivery. So I don't want you to see that as a bad thing. You will gain additional fat, and for everybody, like genetically, it will be different. So that's just something to note there. And I'll probably add some things on weight gain when we talk about third trimester a little more, because I know that's a big one for women, is just the hesitancy, the anxiousness around weight gain and what's normal and what's not. So definitely tune in next week to next episode for more on that if that's something you want to hear about. And then lastly, I know I'm going on and on about these body changes, but lastly, your caloric needs increase in the second trimester, so you are needing more energy to fuel the development of your baby. And that's going to look like an additional about 300 calories per day above your maintenance. Now, I don't necessarily ever recommend like tracking calories unless you really aren't in tune with what your body needs. I always recommend more of an intuitive approach and use that with my clients as well, eating to hunger and fullness and really listening to their body and hunger. However, if in some cases somebody is eating very low amounts and has really become out of touch with their hunger and fullness cues, I sometimes do recommend tracking the food you eat, even just like in a simple app, and seeing what that equates to calorically and making sure that you are eating enough. Because I know sometimes it can, with that like hesitancy around weight gain and all of the fitness like lingo on Pinterest or Google or whatever on how to stay lean in pregnancy, it can sometimes fuel us to eat less than we really need to support baby's growth. So anyways, all that to say, caloric needs, I would add a little bit. So whether that's adding a little bit of protein or fat to each meal, or adding an additional snack. I also gave some nutrition recommendations in the first trimester episode, so definitely go back to that if you want to hear a little bit more on that. All of these episodes are kind of interconnected, so I'll probably relate back. So I recommend if you're coming to this in, you know, the second or even third trimester, to listen to the entire series, because it's all going to relate, and there's going to be little pieces that you'll hear in the first trimester that are going to relate to the third, and so on and so forth. Okay, let's go ahead and get into exercise tips and recommendations, the fun stuff, and how essentially bring this all full circle and how we can really counteract the body changes that are happening. I don't want to say counteract as in they're a bad thing, but a lot of these physical and physiological changes that we experience that are completely natural, completely normal, can cause those pesky aches and pains, back pain, sciatic nerve pain, just a host of different things that really don't help us to feel our best. And exercise can be a really great way to counteract those, to prevent those from happening, and to help you just feel your best and continue to live your life. So I want that for you. I want that for all of you. So I've got six different sort of categories or key points that I want to make under exercise tips and recommendations. The first one is to capitalize on the increased energy and capacity in this trimester, and don't be afraid to push yourself a little bit if you can. Again, if you are experiencing symptoms still, not feeling your best, not feeling great, like take this as a grain of salt. If you are somebody who is experiencing those increased energy levels, you're feeling pretty good, then I would just aim to get back into a consistent exercise routine, because likely the first trimester has thrown you off a little bit. And so this is a great time to first off just focus on getting back into that consistent routine and then push into those higher RPE ranges, rate of perceived exertion. So whether that is you starting to lift a little bit heavier, or you are pushing for longer walks or a slightly longer jog, whatever you're doing for your cardio, I would just say that you can really use this trimester to set you up for success in the third trimester, because kind of how it goes is like in a wave, where that first trimester, or like let's just say pre-pregnancy, if you can kind of picture this with me and picturing like a graph, like a chart. pre-pregnancy, let's say you're at this like moderate level, let's say your line is steady, and then first trimester comes on and you experience this dip, you're going down. Basically, your exercise goes down and maybe it squiggles a little bit up and down throughout that first trimester. And then second trimester, you start to see a steady increase in your energy, your ability to exercise. You're kind of seeing that steady increase throughout those couple of months in that second trimester. And then towards the end of the second trimester, that kind of peaks, and then gradually that line starts to decrease, taper off just a little bit. Not quite as big of a dip as it did in the first trimester, so you should really still be coming out ahead in terms of your activity level, especially if you prepare yourself now in the second trimester when you can. Like, you wouldn't experience such a big dip. Because I've seen it many times that a lot of women will get to the third trimester and just feel completely wiped out. They feel heavy, they feel all these aches and pains. And I think when you can really capitalize on the second trimester and train intentionally, that third trimester won't necessarily be a breeze. Like, of course it won't be a breeze, but it can be a lot better than it would if you aren't doing anything in the second trimester, if you're kind of just walking and doing things like that. So all this to say, I always just like want to disclaim, like, there's nothing wrong with walking at all. And there's something to be said about intentional strength training and supporting your body to prepare for these demands that are coming, as long as you can and are capable of doing so. No shame, no judgment if you are limited in any way. Just sharing the information so you can make the best decision for you. Okay, so that's number one, is just increasing your intensity. Number two is to get stronger. I really want to put a focus on strength in the second trimester with progressive overload. So, you know, maybe you're starting off the second trimester at lower weights than you used pre-pregnancy because you took a little bit of a break, or you modified quite a bit in the first trimester and lifted a little bit lighter just because you had to. Or maybe you didn't do anything in the first trimester and you're just getting back to it. I would recommend progressive overload. So gradually starting to increase the weights from week to week or month to month as you feel you can. And having an emphasis on the basics at first, depending on where you're coming to this from, this will be highly specific to what you've done in the past, what you've done recently, and how your body's feeling. But the basics are always good. So squats, some sort of hinge, some sort of pull, like a row, some sort of press, like an overhead press. And then there will be some additional ones that I'd love for you to have emphasis on, but definitely the basics, building strength with the basics and progressively increasing your weights over time. And if you have hesitancy around strength training, definitely go to the recommended episode that I'll recommend at the end about why we need to be strength training in pregnancy. All right, another thing I want you to have emphasis on here is functional ADLs of motherhood. Now, ADL is an acronym for activity of daily life. And what this is going to look like is training for postpartum. Essentially, we're doing squats. Again, squats are a big one. Pickups, like floor pickups, deadlifts, pulls, like opening the door, lifting your baby, leaning over a bathtub. Another thing is single-sided carries, like loaded carries, where you're, you know, mimicking carrying a car seat, mimicking holding your toddler in one arm, you know, things like that, that are really going to translate into you having a smooth transition into postpartum. And then another thing that I'd love for you to have emphasis on is incorporating your core and pelvic floor and getting those stronger, because that's what's really going to support you and help to counteract a lot of those alignment changes that are happening. So doing movements within your strength workouts that also activate your deep abdominals. So a lot of that's going to come in with unilateral exercises. Things I love to incorporate with clients are unilateral squats, where they're holding a dumbbell, just one dumbbell on one side of their body, and doing a squat and really trying to stay in a neutral position so that their core has to work extra hard. You can also do that unilateral in a row or an overhead press or a lunge. So just thinking about ways that you can load one side of your body so that your opposite side core has to work a little bit harder is going to really help you to stay functional and prepare for increased stability that you need beyond this point. All right, number three is to build endurance and stamina. So again, we're capitalizing off of this little energy boost that we have here in the second trimester to mentally and physically prepare for the third trimester. We're going to be carrying more weight in the third trimester, and we need endurance for that so that we're not winded going up a flight of stairs. And then also preparing for labor, because labor is mentally and physically hard. You may endure a long labor, you may not, but either way, we want to prepare for those contractions mentally and physically. So again, it's a good time here to work into those higher RPE ranges on your cardio, higher intensities, just in prep for those things to come. So for you, that might look like, if you typically walk, maybe adding an incline to that walk if it's on a treadmill, for instance. Maybe you're somebody who enjoys jogging and you aim for longer jogs, or increasing your speed a little bit, or adding some like mini intervals in there. Again, this is all going to be relative and maybe a little bit more specific to you. I'm just giving you some general recommendations here. And then something here that I really like to add in with my clients in sort of the mid to late second trimester is labor intensive interval training. And what this is it's a type of HIIT that mimics labor contractions. It's actually pretty cool, because the way I structure it is the first level of birth prep or labor intensive intervals that they do, it's a little bit shorter of a working period and a longer resting period, which is just the way that labor starts out. You get that shorter contraction, you've got a longer rest period between. And then as they start to master that, we increase that working interval period. So they're doing an exercise for a longer period of time now, mimicking that longer contraction, and then the rest period starts to decrease, and that gets more intensive over time. So that's something that I really like to incorporate, is some sort of interval training with clients. It's just really fun to see them progress from level to level and really build their endurance with that. And then between those resting, or between those longer intervals when they rest, we're doing some sort of mobility, we're doing 360 breathing to really get into a relaxed mental state to prepare for that next interval or that next contraction. So really good training for mental and physical right there. And that is highly resemblant of HIIT, with just that like variation of mimicking the contraction timing. So fun thing to add if you are interested in that. Okay, moving on. And it's something that I sort of mentioned briefly in the one where I mentioned getting stronger. But number four is to continue to work on your core, pelvic floor, and your glutes. So these three right here, your core, your pelvic floor, your glutes, are essentially what supports your alignment and your stability. So as your body continues to gain weight throughout the second trimester and your center of gravity shifts, again, your pelvis is being pulled forward. So if you have a strong connection to your deep abdominals, your pelvic floor, and you're also working on isolating and strengthening your glutes, that's really going to support you and keep you in more of a neutral position, which will help to fight off some of those aches and pains and prevent them from happening as you get into the third trimester and start to carry around more weight on the front of your body. You know, working on these areas also supports pelvic floor health as it bears more and more weight, because of course your pelvic floor is at the very bottom of your pelvis and you've got all that weight bearing down on it. So we really want to keep it both strong and keep it mobile as well. So super important to just keep a continued emphasis on that in your training routine. Number five is knowing what to modify. And this is kind of going to go hand in hand with number six, which is warning signs and like knowing how to identify the warning signs. But I'll start with the modifications and sort of see where we overlap. But one main modification that you'll want to make in the second trimester, just due to having a visible belly at this point, is avoiding harsh rotations or modifying. I don't like to ever say avoid or like anything's off limit. We can always change the positioning to make it work, but we want to modify any harsh rotations where your hips and shoulders come out of alignment. So the first two exercises that come to mind are one, wood chops. So if you think about your feet facing forward and you're like chopping a weight down to outside of one leg and your shoulders go towards that weight and your knees and hips stay facing forward, you're really sort of chopping and rotating and your shoulders and hips are going different directions. Another one is Russian twists. So seated, let's say seated on the floor and you're twisting a weight side to side as your hips stay stable and your shoulders turn. That's a loaded exercise and that's just going to be a lot on your core and increase that pressure within there. So we want to modify those by doing things that keep your hips and shoulders in alignment. So with those wood chops, for example, you would try to pivot on the balls of your feet, rotating down and up, keeping those shoulders in a nice alignment throughout. Russian twists, I would probably just not do those anymore. I would do some sort of other exercise that works your obliques in a different way that doesn't require twisting a weight like that. So something to keep in mind there as well. Now with rotations, it's still important to do, so I do recommend doing them in, again, a safe way that keeps your shoulders and hips aligned. Light stretching is okay, so that's also something to keep in mind. Like if you're doing some sort of stretch that is rotating and your shoulders are facing a different direction than your hips, let's say you're like lying on your side and you are doing like a chest opener where your shoulders open up towards the ceiling and your hips are going towards one side. Hopefully you're getting that visual, like a torso twist. That's okay. You just, as long as it feels comfortable to you, that's okay. We just don't want to be like loading our core and doing harsh rotations like that. All right, another thing to modify is traditional core exercises on your back. So things like leg lifts, things like V-ups, bicycles, and exercises that flex your spine forward. Like you can picture your spine sort of like flexing when you do a crunch, when you do a sit-up. Those are all going to increase your intra-abdominal pressure. And so ways that we modify are doing core exercises in like a quadruped position. So picturing like bird dogs and different variations of that. Also doing core exercises within your strength program. Like I mentioned earlier, holding a weight on one side of the body is going to really help to activate your core. And you can kind of sneak those into your strength work, which is really fun. And then just other standing core exercises, such as a march with an overhead press, really focusing on balance, focusing on core stability. So it's really going to be all about stabilization and movements that work more on stability and balance versus those six-pack rectus abdominal abs. And I actually have a mini core video, a prenatal core video in my Strong Mama Insiders. So it's entirely free. If you go to the show notes or description on this podcast episode, you can click on the Strong Mama Insiders. It's free to sign up and you'll get like a vault of workouts essentially in there. And one of them, one of the first ones that I did was a prenatal core workout where I give you five different exercises that you can do that are pregnancy safe, that take these practices into account. So if you're like feeling lost or you can't picture these things I'm saying, I know it's audio, so it's hard. Definitely go to Strong Mama Insiders and grab some of those resources. All right, still on the modifications, I want you to use caution with, not necessarily take out, but use caution with high impact exercise. So anything that has you jumping, that has you jogging, that provides that additional impact, because of course we're already carrying this baby weight. And then when we are adding that impact by jumping or running, we are adding additional impact to our joints, to our pelvic floor. And that can be problematic, but I would look out for some of the warning signs that I'll share with you next. But here, you just want to use caution. It may not be a primary thing for you in the second trimester. I know in my first pregnancy, for me specifically, I was able to do more of the HIIT type training in that second trimester, but in my second pregnancy, I don't know, I just wasn't really feeling it. It just didn't, I don't know, it didn't feel the best to me. I was more interested in strength training. That felt better for me. So all this to say, high impact exercise can be okay as long as it feels okay to you and you're not noticing some of the warning signs that we will talk about. So use caution with that. And then finally, another one to use caution with is full center planks. So front planks, essentially, where you're either on your elbows or on your hands and doing that full plank, as well as side planks. So we want to be watching out for doming, which I'll talk about a little bit next, and any like loss of form. I don't know why I said that weird. But the reason for this is that they increase that intra-abdominal pressure, and that could be pushing against the abdominal wall, increasing your risk for a severe diastasis or pushing down on that pelvic floor, causing symptoms and dysfunction. It's all about that managing that pressure in there. So highly recommend that core video if you are feeling lost on what to do for your core. I guide you through it, tell you how to breathe, all that good stuff. All right, let's get into these warning signs since I have alluded to them several times. Warning sign number one is doming. This goes for core exercises, but it goes for literally anything that you do. Like if you like notice yourself bending back in the shower to wash your hair and you notice doming. Like we don't want to be in that position long term. If you notice it, it is what it is, but you don't want to be like in that position for extended periods of time. So doming is one, and what that's going to look like is a sort of like pushing out or a bulging between your six-pack abs. You'll notice it, like your belly button will push up, that midline will push out. It won't look sort of like neutral or flat like it did before. So that just means that you aren't managing pressure super well within there. So there's some breathing tactics you can try to correct that and make sure you're really activating your deep abdominals. If that doesn't work, then you may need a modification for whatever exercise or movement that is. So doming is one. Another one is leaking. So that's a sign that there is some pelvic floor issue going on. If you are leaking pee during exercise, especially with high impact exercise, that's something you want to look out for. If jumping or running is causing you to leak, whether that is you're noticing those symptoms during the exercise or you're noticing them hours or the next day post exercise, that could also be a sign that that's not working out very well for you right now. Another warning sign is pain. So if you've got pain either in your pelvic floor or your joints, that's another warning sign. Pressure, so pelvic floor pressure specifically, heaviness in the pelvic floor region is a sign that maybe you're not managing pressure effectively and that's bearing down on your pelvic floor, which is not great long term. So I know I briefly touched on these warning signs, but you can get more in episode 40, which goes into depth on all of these warning signs and what to really look out for and what to do about them. And I know I've given you a lot of information in this episode, so I want to kind of tie this up with a sample plan and just give you what a sample routine could look like in the second trimester for someone who is generally feeling pretty good. And again, this will not look perfect. It never does. And that's not what we need to strive for. But just as like a general outline, this is what I would recommend for somebody in their second trimester. I would recommend weightlifting or strength training 2 to 3 times per week and just applying that progressive overload from week to week, month to month. And what this like strength session would look like is I would start with some breathing and core and pelvic floor work to get everything nice and activated. And then I would go into some strength training and finish with mobility and some good stretching, some good stretches for the hips. Mobility is something I didn't talk a lot about in this episode. It is still important and will definitely become even more important in the third trimester as you prepare for birth, but always recommending mobility and stretches to finish out a strength workout. The second part of this routine would look like steady state, moderate intensity cardio 2 to 3 times per week. And this would look like walking with some added mobility and stretches afterwards, specifically for the hips, which highly relate to your pelvic floor. So hip mobility and walking are your cardio of choice. And that's just, again, steady state, getting your heart rate to an elevated level, holding it there, really working on that aerobic base. And then if you have a good foundation, if you've been exercising consistently for 6 to 8 weeks and you feel like you have a pretty good base, I would start to include towards the mid to late second trimester some mini interval sessions that are very similar to that labor intensive interval training that I talked about. So adding some more intense working periods followed by some rest periods where you really focus on breathing and getting into a birthing position. And that I would do just like mini bursts of 5 to 10 minutes about 2 times per week. And that can be tacked on to the end of a strength workout or a steady state cardio workout. So all in all, you're looking at 4 to 5 days per week of exercise. It doesn't have to look perfect from week to week, but that is what generally from a just like high level overview, that's what I would recommend. Now, if you're taking all of this in, you could probably take this information and craft a plan for yourself, which if you do that, amazing. I hope that this is valuable to you. I hope that you can take this and apply it directly to your exercise routine. However, if you are somebody who has a track record of knowing what they need to do, yet struggling to follow through for whatever reason, some gentle accountability might be exactly what you need. And when I work with clients one-on-one, they not only get a personalized exercise plan, but also the support, the check-ins, and often we see an increase in motivation and consistency due to this full circle approach. So if you're looking for that streamlined, clear way to cut through the noise and get an exercise routine that works for you along with the support, I invite you to learn more about my one-on-one coaching program. We can set you up for success as you prepare for the remainder of your pregnancy, labor, and postpartum. So that information will all be in the show notes. And finally, wrapping up with some recommended additional episodes that you can check out if you want to take some of these concepts further. The first one is warning signs. Episode 40 is going to dive deeper into warning signs for both pregnancy and postpartum exercise. The next one is simplifying the pelvic floor in episode 54. If you're like hearing about pelvic floor and you're like, I have no idea what to do for my pelvic floor, please help me. That is going to help give you the basics and exactly what you need to know to start supporting your pelvic floor. Episode 56 is 6 reasons to strength train in pregnancy. So if you're hesitant around strength training and you really just want to learn more about why it's important, that one is going to give you some good info. And then lastly, episode 63 is going to talk about intensity of pregnancy workouts. Since we talked a lot today about intensity and the RPE scale, which I didn't explain here, but I do explain in episode 63, that's going to help you make sure your workout intensity is within a safe range and really how to quote unquote listen to your body and what that whole phrase actually means. I will summarize those episodes again in the show notes so you don't have to remember those off the top of your head. You can scroll down for literally everything we talked about today, the free resources, the coaching, the recommended episodes. This one was a gold mine, you guys. I'm at almost 40 minutes right now as I'm recording this. So I'm going to wrap this up. I hope this was valuable to you. If you enjoyed this episode, you got something out of it, I would absolutely love and appreciate a review and rating on the podcast. Every little bit helps get the word out to more mamas, and it helps support my mission to help more moms have a healthy pregnancy, postpartum, and beyond. So thank you so much for being here, and I'll chat with you next time for third trimester. And that's a wrap, Mama. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of the Strong Mama Podcast. If this show has served you in some way, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. Head to strongmamawellnessco.com for more free resources and opportunities for us to work together. Until next time, keep moving.